Eating more foods with a better omega-3, omega-6 fatty acid profile or ratio is frequently associated with kind of heart health and overall health. So when the omega-6 is a lot higher, usually we see some issues with health, usually. So we want to kind of give that bridge into the pescatarian diet, because with the pescatarian diet, usually the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3s tend to be better because you're eating a lot more fish, which contains omega-3s, fatty acids.
And I'm not going to lie. Well, I think when, you know, I've done everything from vegan to vegetarian to pescatarian to where I am now. And pescatarian was kind of my favorite.
Right.
Like,
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Appreciate you guys listening each week. We've got a nice, maybe a fishy subject to talk to you about. And I don't mean fishy in the, not in the questionable or sneaky type of topic, but actual, the literal sense of fishy. We're going to talk about fish, specifically the pescatarian diet. So we're going to talk about that and some of the pros and cons with that, and actually a news recent news story that came up about that type of diet and some of its benefits. But before we jump into that, we want to ask you guys, if you haven't done so already, give us a rating and review either in iTunes or Apple Podcasts or even on the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Let us know what you think of the podcast and what we need to do to make this podcast better. Your guys' reviews help us reach a broader audience, believe it or not. So keep them coming. All right. So training recaps. I know I think all of us have both – all of us – All two of us have been
in the room.
Somewhat slacky when it comes to training as of late, just because I think we've got a vacation coming up, so we're kind of trying to gear up for that and make sure we are, you know, getting everything else taken care of. We got some other kind of life events that we're taking care of and stuff like that. So it's like trying to find our time for fitness has been somewhat limited as of late. If I'm speaking for myself, I don't know if I could speak for you too.
Well, I kind of switch from week to week. Like, I'll have a really good week where I'm able to do like my 5 days and it's great and everything goes wonderful. And then I have a week like last week that was just, I was super low energy, like super, super low. I mean, I was exhausted in the evenings, but I had trouble going to sleep. And then I was exhausted waking up, and I couldn't get my butt out of bed in order to do my, like, training, since that's the only time I have.
Right.
So, and things at work are insanely crazy. So the chance to actually get out and, like, do a walk or something, which was another way I was kind of supplementing my movement goals, has just not happened. And it's, it just makes me feel like kind of bummed, to be honest. Like, one of my hips started hurting.
Yeah,
which
I remember you mentioning that.
It's one of those things, like, after I had Ella, you know, totally new body, and my hip, like, it sometimes it's my left hip, sometimes my right hip, but it's frequently my left hip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, it hurts so much when I stand or when I sit.
Right.
And the only time I have any kind of relief is when I lay down. So there was like one evening this week where it hurt so bad, I was just like wrapped up in a heating pad.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not going to do anything physical when that's happening.
True. Yeah, you don't want to further injure yourself. So
yeah.
Don't
know what's causing it. So
yeah, that and super odd. And I think my training wasn't much better. This was actually the first week I was off from title. So a little bit of an update, you know, I finished my title training. I don't know if you guys, we haven't talked about it too much lately, but I was doing some title boxing classes, a couple times during the week. And I ended up finishing up with that last week and, acquiring some private clients to kind of substitute for that. So no longer doing my title classes, which were kind of my daily workout, because you got to kind of teach hands-on. So you were actually demonstrating on the exercises and doing the exercises with your students. So that was kind of my daily exercise routine. Mm. And now that that's gone, it's got to be a little bit more diligent on my own about doing my exercises. Yeah. So got a couple strength training things in this week. But also one thing I did get back into was getting some massage done this week. Ooh. Which was super beneficial to me, obviously, as it sounds like. So I was pretty happy about that.
But
yes, I know you are. So I was pretty happy about that, and definitely making me feel a little bit better and make me hopefully gear up for a good week of training this week, since it's a short week because we will be traveling at the end of the week. So I'm trying to gear up, do enough exercise, kind of bank some of those good workouts before we head out of town. So that's kind of my my goal for this coming week, is to turn up the exercise intensity a little bit.
Amp it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Before we get on the plane, okay. Kind of try to improve my all levels of fitness so we can Teflon ourselves against the the trials and tribulations against your health that is traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So as we mentioned before, another way to help us kind of Teflon ourselves is a good nutrition. And one of the nutrition that we like to enjoy is seafood. You know, we've talked about the pescatarian diet on here, talked about specifically as of late the Mediterranean diet.
How do you say that again?
Mediterranean. The subterranean diet.
Oh, God. It's so gross.
Yes, we actually were talking about last year, earlier in the year, about how the Mediterranean diet is the number one ranked diet from, I think it was U.S. News Today, I believe it was, one of those. But it's been frequently listed as the top diet, you know, worldwide. And the big part of that is seafood. It's a big component of that. And we're going to get into more of the pros and cons with the pescatarian diet, but it's something that spawned this conversation was an article I found in the Washington Post. It was actually an article I found in the New York Times that talks about how omega-3s may ease asthma symptoms in children. Huh. So omega-3s, which seafood is high in, they actually found it. They did a little study that, let me go through it so you can see it. It was a study, researchers studied 135 asthmatic children ages 5 to 12 living in Baltimore's inner city, which is somewhat weird because we're traveling to Baltimore next week. Near Baltimore, I should say, not actually Baltimore. But at the end of the study, and then again, 3 and 6 months, the children were assessed for diet, asthma symptoms, and the use of asthma medicines. At each assessment, blood samples were taken, yada, yada, yada. And they also detected air pollutants at the children's home. So the study that was done by the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care found that higher omega-6 intake was associated with increased asthma severity.
Sounds more like severe. You're saying asthma.
I'm saying asthma. Increased asthma severity, more excellent. Severe effects of particulate pollution on asthmatic symptoms, and increased blood levels of neutrophils, a type of white blood cells associated with inflammation. So if you guys, we've talked about it before, omega-6 fatty acids are things that are high in inflammatory vegetable oils like corn oil. So they actually found out the opposite to be true with children that had a high omega-3 intake. They found that they had milder symptomatic reactions to indoor pollution and lower blood levels of neutrophils. Okay. So this obviously is one of those. They had the correlation between the fact that the diet had a real big effect on asthma symptoms. So we talked about
inflammation.
Yeah, exactly right. So people who eat high inflammatory foods are more likely to be subjected, or more likely to have reactions to or have asthmatic symptoms due to their essentially higher levels of inflammation.
Yeah, and the omega-3s, they're not just found in fish; they're also found in walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of interesting. That's like so specific, but I like some walnuts and I like some fish. So this is all sounding good to me.
And they said in this article that these are just preliminary studies. Obviously, they need to have some more controlled trials, you know, do their due diligence doing their double-blind placebo and see if there are a direct effect of omega-3s on asthma and whatnot and omega-6. But obviously, this is kind of a stepping stone or the starter to make you create the hypotheses that, you know, higher inflammatory foods or diets with higher inflammatory foods can cause more asthmatic symptoms, which, you know, is somewhat, I wouldn't say...
It sounds logical.
Logical. Yeah, I mean, it sounds logical. We got to see if maybe there's a direct, how direct the correlation between the two actually are. So, but with that knowledge, eating more foods with a better omega-3, omega-6 fatty acid profile or ratio is frequently associated with kind of heart health and overall health. So when the omega-6 is a lot higher, usually we see some issues with health, usually. So that's, we want to kind of give that bridge into the pescatarian diet, because with the pescatarian diet, usually the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3s tend to be better because you're eating a lot more fish, which contains omega-3s, fatty acids.
And I'm not gonna lie. Well, I think when, you know, I've done everything from vegan to vegetarian to pescatarian to where I am now. And pescatarian was kind of my favorite.
Right.
Like, I don't know, it like resonated well with my body, I think, in a lot of different ways. But some of the kind of risks to a pescatarian diet, there are specific things you have to watch.
Right.
I mean, it's similar to if you're only going to eat, you know, red meat, or if you're if you're eating, you know, lots of chicken and things like that. No matter what kind of food you eat, in this day and age, there's risks to almost everything. So you're looking, like, you know, if you're a vegan, you're looking for your organic vegetables and things so you don't get all the toxins. If you're looking at meat, you're looking for farm-raised, organic-raised. And fish, well, I think we've all seen a lot about pollution in the oceans lately. So,
yeah, well, and just talking about nutrients too, like a nutrient density for all those different diets too, trying to get your full spectrum of nutrients. Like we talked about vegan, tough to get your iron, your full dose of iron and protein, and once again, the omega fatty acids that we talked about earlier. Tough when you're a vegan. Obviously, there are supplements, but then you switch it over to like something like the carnivore diet that people just eat meat. You know, it's hard to get, even though some people like to contend that fiber is not a necessary nutrient, that it's hard to get all the different flavonoids and antioxidants that come within or are contained within fruits and vegetables. You're essentially leaving those out when you're doing something like the carnivore diet. So it's trying to find a good balance, you know, that we've always found. And I think, like you mentioned, the pescatarian really gives the good balance, because pescatarian diets tend to be, you know, primarily plant-based. So you get a lot of your different variety of plants, fruits and vegetables, and also, you know, the other protein sources, beans, quinoa, some other things like that. But then they have the protein source of fish and seafood. So the kind of the benefits we already listed, the omega fatty acids, you know, these have been big things that kind of have been attributed to helping heart health, kind of reducing the chances of heart disease, reducing things like type 2 diabetes. Omega-3 fatty acid intake has been associated with things like reducing heart disease, reducing the chance of type 2 diabetes, and then also other types of cancers or metabolic syndromes. So that is a big kind of benefit. One of the, I think, probably the most prevalent thing you hear about benefits about eating seafood.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of nutrients in seafood that are kind of, I wouldn't say exclusive to seafood, but very high in seafood that a lot of other protein sources might not have. Vitamin D, vitamin B12, and then things like essential minerals that a lot of foods don't have, calcium, iron. You talk about shellfish. Those are huge for things like copper, selenium, those hard-to-get minerals that really aren't in a lot of other foods.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm a huge fan. We've been eating a lot of fish and seafood as of late.
There's a reason for that.
Is that done on purpose on your part?
Yes.
You guys listen. If you listen to our food prep episode, you know Shannon does all the meal planning and everything like that. So ask my input. But when I look, I'm like, yeah, that looks good.
Feeling like there's a trend, there's usually a method to my madness. And... like, seriously?
Oh, Jess.
That's actually me making that sound.
Yes. This is our podcast studio, folks. I'm not editing this out.
It's just going to be like, do-do-do-do, elevator music right through now.
Yeah.
Dear goodness, dog, this is the longest drink I've ever heard you take.
Oh, my goodness.
Editing this out because we share this room with the dog.
So, why have there been more seafood in our daily meal plans, or weekly meal plans, I should say?
Because I've actually found myself, maybe it's because of the change in seasons, maybe, possibly. It's become a lot more summer feeling here in Florida. We actually had an amazing spring. Like, we had fantastic, amazing weather all the way up till basically May. And I feel like only in May have we really started to have some hot days, like hot spells. And maybe because of that, but I've just not been really feeling the whole meat. Like, I'm not a huge chicken fan. I feel like I've been trying to go back to my pescatarian ways. Which is funny that we're talking about that this week, because this is, for real, it's probably why you're like, oh, we're eating more fish. We should talk about this.
Yeah, definitely.
I just feel like when I was pregnant, and even for a long time afterwards, a lot of seafood did not appeal to me at all. Like, it was the opposite. Some of the seafood, like salmon, made me super nauseous.
Shrimp, I remember that.
Shrimp, I could not even be in the house if you cooked shrimp. Yeah. And never mind eating it. Like, it took me a year and a half to basically get back to a point where I could eat seafood. And now, maybe because I went without it for so long, or it's a season, I don't know.
Yeah.
We also have a fish market around the corner from us now, which... having access to fresh, quality seafood options is definitely a major, like, change.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, we get our weekly dose of fish dips, most smoked fish dip, which is...
oh, it's so good.
Very delicious.
Oh, my gosh.
We bought shrimp from them last week, and I bought some of the raw oysters there. Everything is really tasty. They even have, like, some smoked salmon jerky that I've tried. It's super good, so...
I so want to go and get, like, you know, a nice fillet of something.
Yes, we are definitely going to do that. But we also want to talk about the possible disadvantages, or, you know, maybe downsides to the pescatarian diet. Because there are some, and as you mentioned just a little while ago, while you were pregnant, you were kind of turned off by it. And, you know, it's interesting. We always talk about how sometimes your body tells you should have and what you shouldn't have. So, you know, you're definitely a tuna fish lover. Canned tuna fish.
Well, I like all tuna.
Yeah, true. You do like all tuna.
I like really good.
But one of the things you hear, and it's some, I wouldn't say it's a wives' tale, old wives' tale, but how you shouldn't eat tuna when you're pregnant because of mercury concentration.
You bring it down to a very moderate level.
So, yes, well, and that's right. And it's like you don't have to eliminate it totally.
Right.
Because there are certain type of tunas that have more mercury than others. Tuna is one of those fish, since they are predatory fish. They're bigger fish. They do eat other fish, that's how they get more mercury in their, basically in their meat, trapped in their muscles. But there are certain types, and we won't go into that, that have more mercury than others.
Well, it's actually pretty much common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, think of it in terms of a food chain. Like, yeah, everybody's seen, like, the picture of, like, the small fish getting eaten by the bigger fish, that's getting eaten by the bigger fish, mm-hmm, that's getting eaten by the shark or something, yeah, like that. Well, it's very similar to how the toxins kind of build up. Those smaller animals, the ones that are mostly plant-based eaters themselves, are not going to have as high doses of mercury because the mercury really builds up in the flesh of living, yeah, animals.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go up the food chain, you know, when you're talking about an anchovy or you're talking about a shrimp, they don't have they have a lower amount, yeah, of mercury. When you get up into like the mid-sized fish, you know, like cod or even like mahi or lobster,
mm-hmm,
that's like your moderate. But then when you get into your really big, monstrous kind of predatory fish, like you were saying,
yep,
those are going to be like your halibut, your sea bass, your tuna.
Yep.
Those are going to be higher. And then the ones that have like the really dangerous levels of mercury, sad to say, but they're some of people's favorite fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's grouper. Like here in Florida, look how much grouper's on the menu everywhere. Yep. Ahi tuna, which I love. Swordfish, like I remember I never loved swordfish, yeah, but I stopped eating it altogether because it is super high in mercury.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of like the toxins, and also something else that is to kind of keep in mind, just like when you think about land-based animals, the ones that are raised in captivity and that are, you know, raised in big groups and farms and, yep, stuff like that. There's fish farms. There's, yep, farmed fish. Those are going to be higher in toxins than the wild fish that are out traveling across, like, large areas of the, mm-hmm, ocean. That's also going to impact those pollutants.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to actually consider when you do eat seafood, but it's just a little bit of education. And it's also knowing that there are certain things that you can eat that sort of counteract the high mercury and toxin levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually possible. Like one of the things that my mom and my doctors kind of helped me find was that dark leafy greens are actually a really good detoxifier and are good to eat with, like whenever you have like a higher mercury fish or seafood item. So that's something that I've done for a pretty long time.
Yeah.
I've tried to like pair them.
Right. Yeah. That's a good one. That's definitely for heavy metals. That's definitely a good one to, you know, like you said, pair them with dark leafy greens. So, but in order to kind of avoid dark leafy metals,
what's that?
Stop it over again.
Dark, all right, leafy metal.
The heavy metals. Obviously, like you said, small fish. Like, I know everybody probably hates it, but sardines, the canned sardines, you know, canned mackerel, and even things like oysters and clams. Shellfish is a good way to go, too, because they're non-predatory. Yeah. But you also have to be pretty careful about where you're getting from if it's, you know, the source. Yeah, so... like, it's one thing, you know, someone who has a background in shellfish aquaculture, as I do.
Extensive.
Yeah, it's very dependent but it's interesting because shellfish are great filters. They are great at filtering. One of the things with the Chesapeake Bay is that they clean a lot of the water. They purify the water by their filtering process, and they're still safe to eat depending on the heavy metal content in the water. So, those are great things, and one thing that we've used before, I used to have it in my old wallet that I had, was this little kind of guide from put out by the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood, yeah, Watch, and it was actually a tiny guide, and it had like categories of like safety eat all the time, and then moderate, and then want to avoid most of the time, and it kind of lists off the food. also divides it up between farmed and wild caught.
Yeah.
Because there are, like you said, definitely their farmed fish can be raised in small pens and can have just as much pollutants as the ones that are in the wild.
Right.
But it's there are some good ethically raised farmed fish, especially in the United States and Canada, that if you can get that option, it's a good option to go, because typically it can be a little bit cheaper, which one of the disadvantage I would say with the pescatarian diet would be cost, because you know fish can be expensive. You know, compare a pound of fish to a pound of ground beef, it's almost can be 2 to 3 times that, depending on what type of fish you get.
It's very true. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can't eat tuna fish and like just canned seafood all the time.
Right.
So.
It's tough to do that, but you know, we discovered that there's great articles you can Google about which type of canned tuna fish is better as far as mercury content. Like skipjack tuna is better than solid albacore, and then line caught tuna is better than, you know, farm raised and things whatnot. But those are some tips for the pescatarian diet, and I think overall the pescatarian diet is a good idea. Like, I think omega-3s, getting your omega-3s is huge for a lot of things. We've talked about that in the past, about how beneficial that is and getting that ratio down. Typically, you're going to eat more omega-6 fatty acids than omega-3, which is okay. You do need a certain amount of omega-6s, but you want the ratio to be closer. So non-inflammatory foods like, you know, whole foods, protein, and other, you know, non-refined grains, that's where you get your omega-3 fatty acids. That ratio is better than things like, you know, fried chicken, stuff like that, you know, protein wrapped in refined grains and then fried in vegetable oils. That's just a double whammy of that's an inflammatory double whammy to a certain extent.
Gross.
So, yeah, pescatarian diet has some drawbacks, but I think overall, nutritionally speaking, it's really, really can be really beneficial.
Well, we're kind of secretly moving that way.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, I'm going to eat.
You're going to eat whatever you want to eat otherwise, but for our main meals, don't be surprised if there's a lot less meat and a lot more seafood.
Let's do a quick kind of recipe. I don't know if you remember it off the top of your head, but last Sunday you made a shrimp dish that was super tasty. Do you remember what went into it?
Generally, yes, I do.
All right, throw it out at them.
So I cooked up about a pound of shrimp, you know, deveined shrimp. And we bought it frozen. It was like a nice quality shrimp, but it had already been shelled and deveined and everything. So cooked up about a pound, put it in a pan, put some salt, some pepper, some paprika on it. I think, you know, I was just cooking it in like a little bit of olive oil. And then it was about 3 minutes on each side. You weren't even like really worrying about cooking them all the way through. Mm-hmm. And then I added in I cooked it in the oil of sun-dried tomatoes.
That
was one of the keys. Was you get when you get sun-dried tomatoes, here's a tip for you if you like to cook. If you get sun-dried tomatoes, don't get the dried ones. Get the ones in oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say this about many things, but get the ones in oil.
Pure olive oil.
It is, yeah, pure olive oil, not the weird ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's life-changing. And in this recipe, I cooked the shrimp in like 3 or 4 tablespoons of that oil. And it's basically sun-dried tomato-infused olive oil.
Get ready to go to flavor country.
Oh, my gosh. And then I added, instead of adding cream, which is what the recipe called for, I substituted just a whole fat coconut milk. Mm-hmm. So not coconut cream, coconut milk. And I added in, I think, a little bit of crushed garlic, like minced garlic in there. And it was, and then I actually put like real sun-dried tomatoes.
Oh.
And yeah, there's about a cup of Parmesan cheese in there, which is why I didn't want to do cream on top of that.
It's not quite the pescatarian diet. But
then we paired it with some zucchini noodles. So plant noodles.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, it was
so good.
Super tasty. And it was fast. Like I think it only took about like from start to finish, maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was a darn good dish.
Yeah.
The shrimp were not like chewy. They were just like really nice and tender.
Yeah, you cooked them perfectly.
Flavor, like the way that it was set up, it was everything worked out really well.
I hope that one makes an appearance. If that's what we're going to be eating, that's what I'm okay with that. So.
Yeah, and I will also say salmon, which we haven't done a lot of in a long time, but hopefully we'll be able to bring back.
All right.
And if I find a good one that doesn't have tons and tons of little bones in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, doing salmon with a puff pastry, pesto, tomato. Oh, yeah.
I do remember those.
And some sliced almonds.
It's been a while since
we had that those. Is one of the simplest but most decadent and delicious dishes for salmon that I've ever had.
All right. Now I'm getting hungry. But besides that recommendation for those type of dishes, I have a podcast recommendation. And we know we haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
But I recommended this to you when I was talking about it to a bunch of other people. And it was a podcast. And it's not normally a health podcast, but sometimes they have good interviews. People guest on the podcast that are in the health and fitness realm. It's the Adam Carolla Show. It was from this past Friday. So that was the 11th?
I think it's the 16th or 17th.
That was the 17th. I'm a little behind. Here are we Excuse me. All right. So the guest was Dr. Michael Bruce. He is known as the sleep doctor. And he gave, basically, it was like an hour to an hour and 15 minute seminar about tips on how to sleep right. He actually did a TED Talk.
Yeah.
And I'm going to follow up and try to watch that TED Talk too. And I'm also going to try to follow up and try to get Dr. Bruce on the podcast because he came out with a bunch of different tips about how to improve your sleep, stuff that kind of contradict some of the norms that we think about nowadays. So I definitely want to get more about him or learn more about him and his process because when it comes to sleep, I think we all can use better sleep. So,
for real.
One thing he talks about, and I think this should inspire you guys to check out that podcast, The Adam Carolla Show from May 17th. He says, you don't need 8 hours of sleep. Not everybody is built to get 8 hours of sleep. So that's just a little teaser. So you guys check out that podcast. And while you're at it, if you're in the Apple Store looking for that podcast, in Apple Podcasts looking for that episode of The Adam Carolla Show, you can go to give us a rating and review while you're there, you know?
Yes.
Hit the 5-star review, nothing less. If you want to do less, you can just leave us. Don't give us any reviews. And leave a few words what you think about the podcast, and we'll give you a shout-out on a future episode.
Yes.
Got anything else for him?
Nope.
All right, this has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.